Sometimes cases are relatively straightforward. They've got a single constitutional issue, and that's what we focus on. But there are some cases where there are so many constitutional issues, it's hard to keep them straight. Consider the case in Watauga High School in Western North Carolina, not far from WETS, where a teacher wanted to exercise her academic freedom and assign a book to her sophomore honors English class, where a parent had her fundamental right to rear her children the way she wanted to, offended by this book, where the kids, let's not forget the kids, had a right to read and receive information and to receive education. My gosh, there are so many issues in this book banning case that it's hard to sort them all out, but we're going to try. It's your weekly constitutional. I'm Stuart Harris, and today it's the House of the Spirits.
Your weekly constitutional is produced at WETS FM in cooperation with the home of the Constitution, James Madison's Montpelier. Your host is Stuart Harris, who teaches constitutional law at the Appalachian School of Law in Grundy, Virginia.
Constitutional law is not something that happens far away, not something that just happens somewhere else. Sometimes it happens right in our own backyard. For example, Watauga County, North Carolina, is not far from where I am at the WETS studios. And in Watauga County, there's a place called Watauga High School. And in that high school is an award-winning teacher named Mary Kent Whitaker, who teaches a sophomore honors English class. And in that class, she wanted to assign a book that had been recommended at the state level in North Carolina by an internationally acclaimed author named Isabel Allende. The name of the book was The House of the Spirit, still is. But when that book was assigned, one of the parents of one of the students, the parent's name is Chastity Lassane. Well, Ms. Lassane decided she didn't like this book, and she protested this book being assigned, even though there was an option for her children to opt out of the book and to not read the book, to read, I think it was Moby Dick instead. The issue caused all sorts of consternation. It called public hearings. It caused brouhaha in the press. And of course, because it was local, it was in our own backyard, it caught the attention of our executive producer here, Wayne Winkler, who also happens to be the station manager at WETS. And WETS, as I've mentioned before, has a number of wonderful shows. And one of them that's focused on local issues is a show called Community Forum. So not long ago, Wayne did an extended interview with the protagonists in this case, or at least he tried to interview the protagonists in this case. He was able to convince Mary Kent Whitaker, the teacher, to speak to him, and he invited Ms. Lassane, the parent who objected to the book, repeatedly, but Ms. Lassane apparently declined. Instead, she sent in a statement to be read, which you'll hear during the community forum interview. I should mention that I also contacted Ms. Lassane repeatedly, that I exchanged emails with her, and to date, she has not accepted our invitation, which is really too bad. We always try to tell all sides of controversial issues, and when people won't talk to us, we can't do our jobs as well as we'd like to. But we're going to do the very best we can to present Ms. Lassane's side of the controversy. And Ms. Lassane, the invitation remains open if you'd like to come and set the record straight. In the meantime, here is Wayne Winkler, Mary Kent Whitaker on WETS's show Community Forum.
Mary Kent Whitaker is joining us via Skype today. Thank you very much for being with us on the program. And could you give us a little bit of background as to how this whole situation started?
Well, this is it started in the fall. And in October, Mrs. Lassane had questions about the book. She's new to the public school system. She had homeschooled her children until this year. And her oldest is a sophomore. And he was in my class first semester, and she had become aware that there was adult content in the House of the Spirits, and she had some meetings with the counselor and the principal and with me, and we talked about how we've always offered alternates at Watauga High School, and that's been a tradition at our high school as long as I have been there, which is 11 years, and prior to that also. We've offered alternates to Huck Finn, Scarlet Letter, Chocolate War, Mudbound, just, you know, any book that a parent finds objectionable, we will always accommodate and offer an alternate. But she apparently wasn't satisfied with that. So she filed the official complaint October the 14th. And this is the first time we've ever had an official book challenge at Watauga High School. As I said, we've had parents, a small number of parents, concerned about adult content in books, but we've never had a parent complete the form and make it an official complaint. That's a really big deal. So she did that, and then it the policy says that it's to go before a school committee. So we had a school committee of seven individuals who read the book and read all the documentation that I had prepared for them. And then we had a meeting, and they heard Mrs. Lessing present for 15 minutes, and I presented for 15 minutes. And then the committee made the decision to fully retain the book in the honors sophomore curriculum. And I do want to say here, too, it is only taught in the honors sophomore curriculum. It's not taught in the other two levels of sophomore English at the high school. But she was not satisfied with that, so she filed an appeal, and the policy says that from there it goes to a district committee. So the district committee was composed of a teacher from our school, a principal of a K-8 school, a media specialist of a K-8 school, and Dr. Fonseca, who's the interim superintendent, and then Dr. Clint Zimmerman, who was a pediatrician in our community. And those five members read the book and read all the documentation that I provided. And then they heard Mrs. Lessing speak. This was at an open meeting for 30 minutes, and they heard me present for 30 minutes. And then they discussed the book. Each of the committee members talked about the book and the merits of it, and they voted unanimously to keep the book fully in the sophomore honors curriculum.
So at this point, two committees have looked at the book and have both unanimously approved it to be taught to the honor sophomore English class.
We were all hoping that that would be the end and that I could get back to teaching the book, because the book has been on hold since October. And I can mention, I can talk about that, which I'd like to. But then she filed a final appeal, and now the book challenge goes before the Board of Education, and they will make the final decision on whether it's retained in the sophomore honors curriculum or not. But since she filed her complaint, the Board of Education put the unit on hold 3 days before I was going to start teaching it to my sophomores this past semester. And it's been on hold all those months, and we've started a second semester, and it's on hold now. So one of my huge concerns is that even though there's not been a decision on whether the book is going to be removed from the curriculum or remain in the curriculum, it's in effect been removed from my current students and my last semester students, because they did not get to study and read the book. And I had to come up with a equal unit in 3 days. So as you can imagine, that's impossible. I spent a good part of the summer rereading The House of the Spirits and preparing a really in-depth, highly challenging, month-long unit that would leave my students with better critical thinking skills and better reading skills. And it's an awesome unit. I taught the book last year to 112 honor sophomore students, and it's amazing. They learned so much. They loved the book. They were very engaged with it. They responded as critical thinkers and critical readers. So I have a history now of teaching the book last year, but I have not been able to teach it this year as this book challenge just really continues month after month after month.
The book we're talking about today is The House of the Spirits by Isabel Allende. Can you kind of summarize the book for us? Tell us what it's about.
It's Isabel Allende's first book, and she was self-exiled in Venezuela after the military coup in Chile. Her grandfather was dying in Santiago, and she knew she couldn't come back because it was too dangerous still for her. And so she started writing a letter to her grandfather, and that letter became The House of the Spirits. And in it, she tells the story of Chile, although the country itself is not actually named, but it's clear that's what it is. And she has said that as well, of course. And the characters in it, many of them represent members of her family. And so it's the story of three generations. And we see the political structure, the cultural, social structure of Chile. We see the military coup through the eyes of the narrators and the aftermath of that as well. And it's a story about hope, and it's a story about forgiveness. And my students understand that. We focus on all these positive aspects of the book. And the very last page of the book, it just comes full circle. And it's about the character Alba, who was tortured during the coup, who is going to forgive. She's going to break this cycle of violence, and she's going to forgive. And it is a beautiful lyrical story of hope and family commitment and justice and forgiveness.
At Watauga High School in North Carolina, the book is taught in a sophomore honors English class, or was until last October, when a parent filed a complaint about the book. That parent, Chastity Lassane, declined our invitation to be on this program, but sent the following statement. She writes, "The highly controversial, sexually explicit material contained in The House of the Spirits is unsuitable and harmful for high school students. The book contains over 50 depictions of sexual activity, sexual deviancy, or genitalia. Descriptive, detailed literature creates vivid imagery in the reader's mind. Most avid readers will confirm this, and so does research, according to an Open Education Database article, Your Brain on Books. Unfortunately, the picture and imagery created far too often in this book is of a 6-year-old little girl being molested, numerous sex acts with prostitutes, and a key character whose uncontrolled lust requires him to rape all the farm help to relieve himself and allow him to sleep. The book's seemingly interminable depictions of sexual deviancy, including rape, necrophilia, prostitution, and sex with minors, are unsuitable for adolescents. If the book was in a visual format, the distribution would be illegal child pornography due to its frequent depictions of sex acts with a minor. It is unnecessary to select a book with excessive amounts of sexually explicit material to teach economic or political history in a Latin American context. The Grassroots Community Initiative is requesting the book be removed as required reading in class, which leaves the book accessible in the library or as optional reading." And again, that is a statement from Chastity Lassane, the parent who made the original complaint about this book in October. Two different committees talked about the book, studied the book, and both committees unanimously approved the book for being taught in the Watauga County school system. However, an appeal was filed by Mrs. Lassane, and on Monday, the Watauga County School Board will take up this issue. I'm talking with Mary Kent Whitaker, who teaches the Honors English class at Watauga High School that is at the center of this controversy, and we're talking via Skype. Sometimes we're getting a little bit of digital distortion that is often common with Skype. It's not on your radio, but it's not too bad. We hope it won't get any worse. Do you have any reaction or comments to Mrs. Lassane's statement?
I do. The comment that the book is unsuitable and harmful for high school students, I think we have, you know, so much evidence that shows that it's very suitable for high school students. Not only the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction, who recommended a resource to us at Common Core Training that lists the book as the number one book to teach to all sophomores for the Latin American unit, as well as multiple other resources that have listed the book as suitable for high school students, and not only suitable, but recommended. And then in terms of being harmful to students, anyone that, you know, talks to my students who have studied the book or reads the words that my students have written, reads their essays, they're so impressed by how much my students learned, how much they grew, how much they understood. I recently shared the comments with a community member who's an ASU faculty, and he had emailed me back, and he said, "I could tell your students were engaged, challenged, and often transformed as readers, thinkers, and citizens through reading The House of the Spirits." So again, the excerpts to which she objects equal 1% of the book, but they're integrated into the book in a tapestry of a beautiful story of three generations of the family. The article that's mentioned, I'm actually very familiar with that article, Your Brain on Books, and I went back and reread it. It's actually very much in support of the book. One of the points it makes is that deep reading makes us more empathetic, to people in real life, becoming more aware and alert to the lives of others. And it's interesting because at our district committee meeting, one of the five district committee members shared some very interesting information that he had gotten from a colleague, a Harvard colleague. And the colleague to whom he spoke is Dr. Michael Rich, who directs the Center of Media and Child Health. And the information that Dr. Rich shared with this district committee member is that when young people engage with content in thoughtful, critical ways as part of a thoughtful discussion and real engagement with some of the issues, portrayals of violence or sexual abuse can sensitize young people to these issues and can help them become attuned to some of the all too common and difficult parts of human behavior. It can increase their empathy. And I've heard this before too, and you know, why this book? Why does this book have to be taught? There must be hundreds of other books. And we've, my English department and myself, we have read and reviewed over 25 Latin American titles, and they all have won honors. We've looked for ones that are on recommended reading list. But of course, all of them do have something to which a parent might object, just like our classic books, Catcher in the Rye, Native Son, Chocolate War, Slaughterhouse-Five, Persepolis, just on and on. There's the titles of books that are valuable to teach to teenagers usually have something that one parent or another parent might object to. And the complainant objects to in The House of the Spirits, another parent doesn't. Or what one parent objects to in The Catcher in the Rye, the complainant, Mrs. Lassane, does not object to.
It's Weekly Constitutional. I'm Stuart Harris, and I'm speaking with, I'm not speaking with anybody at all right now. I'm listening, just like you are. I'm listening to Wayne Winkler, my executive producer, speak to Mary Kent Whitaker, a public high school teacher from Western North Carolina, and they're talking all about book banning. After the break, we'll have our constitutional quiz, and then we'll come back, and Wayne will speak some more with Mary Kent Whitaker. Stick around.
Don't take away Tom Sawyer.
Once again, into the studio strides the quiz guy.
Hello, Stuart. How are you?
I am doing very well, Doug. Now, are you the quiz guy today, or are you the Riddler?
Today, I am the Riddler.
Well, tremendous. I wonder what sort of riddle you have. Well, first of all, we have to see if there's anyone on the phone. Do we have anyone on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, who are you?
My name is Derek, and I'm from Owensboro, Kentucky.
Owensboro, Kentucky. Where is Owensboro, Kentucky, Derek?
It's about 2 hours southwest down the Ohio River from Louisville.
From Louisville. So sort of the western part of the state, then.
Yes. Yeah, we're kind of up northwestern. Yeah, right on the river.
Oh, that's a lovely area. Very lovely.
Oh, it is. Really nice.
You're not far from Chattanooga, then. Oh, excuse me. I meant,
yeah, we're
very far from Chattanooga.
Let me rephrase that. From Paducah.
Oh, yeah, we're not too far away from there at all. Okay. Probably about another two-hour drive.
That is a lovely, lovely area, so we're so glad you do. What do you do over there in the western part of Kentucky?
I actually teach eighth grade social studies.
Oh, man. Doug, I think we're going to have trouble. He teaches eighth grade social studies.
I don't know. I bet we can get him.
Okay.
I hope not.
We're going to try doubly hard. Okay, the Riddler is going to ask you a really tough riddle now.
Okay.
I am a building that launched America's founding. I hosted Ben and Tom when they demanded independence. James Madison and other delegates thought of me as kind of a convention center. George Washington rose to the ranks of commander inside me. What's my name?
I believe we are talking about Independence Hall in Philadelphia.
Well, you just jumped right to saying Independence Hall, but first of all, I have to ask the Riddler, do you have any answer choices before we accept or reject this particular
answer? No, I think we should just go with it.
You think we should
go with it? Now, we're going to have a little gray area here, Stuart. I don't know if we're prepared to say Independence Hall, but is that his final answer?
Oh, I see. I think that Doug has just dropped a hint that Though Independence Hall may be a correct answer, there might be another correct answer out there, Did you want
you mean take another guess at it?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you think, there might be another name that's kind of there that's associated.
Should I go with the Pennsylvania State House?
Oh, the Pennsylvania State House.
There we go. Well done. Hey, leave it to someone else from a Commonwealth of Kentucky to get that. That's
right.
Excellent.
Indeed, he did. So, will you explain that? I guess it wasn't always called Independence Hall, Doug?
It wasn't. It was the Pennsylvania State House. And interestingly enough, it really is a location where much of our founding happened. And not surprisingly, it wasn't just a state house like we think of today, but it was really a community center. I mean, they had all kinds of groups meeting in there all the time. And so, it's no surprise when it came time for a revolution to get planned or a constitution to get drafted. That was kind of ground zero. That was the center of where it was all happening, and there was a huge intellectual base in Philadelphia that helped to make that happen. Now, it wasn't called Independence Hall until about the 1870s. Up until then, it was just still known as the Pennsylvania State House. Interestingly enough, who was the 1736 clerk of the Pennsylvania State House? I bet you can figure this one out.
The 1736, so in the year 1736, there was a clerk of the Pennsylvania State House.
Derek, that's right, because it really started, I mean, it really was in use around 1735, so it was one of the first clerks.
Who was the first clerk, or one of the first clerks, Derek? This is for an extra T-shirt. You've already gotten one T-shirt, Derek. Do you want to take a guess who that clerk might have been in 1736?
I'm going to take a guess and go with Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin?
Himself. That's right.
Oh, well done.
You know how we love our lifetime politicians here in America, and he's definitely one of them.
Absolutely. Well, Derek, that means congratulations to you.
Well, thank you.
You get two T-shirts. Now, of course, we'll have you send your sizes to Carol, our scheduler.
Okay.
But I have to ask, do you have a sweetie pie?
Yes, I do. My wife, she probably want one too.
I was just thinking, it's probably a smart thing for a married man to get one for yourself and one for your wife. Okay, and
don't want to get in trouble. So.
Well, absolutely not. Well, when you do, make sure you take a couple pictures and email them to us, and then we'll put them on our Facebook page. And by the way, I also heard a rumor that you are going to be at Montpelier for the Bill of Rights seminar.
Yeah, I'm actually heading out early tomorrow morning.
That is.
So hopefully get there tomorrow afternoon.
Very, very exciting. Well, when you get there, make sure you look up Doug Smith over at the Center for the Constitution. I'm not sure where he's going to be, but I bet he'll be hanging around there, because that's what he does most days. He just kind of hangs around
just
outside the club.
Hanging around.
Just
me and Ben Franklin.
That's right. Well, make sure that you talk to Doug when you get there, because he's eager to meet you.
Check that out.
Okay. Well, thanks, Derek.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on.
And thank you, Doug.
Absolutely. Hey, it's the Constitution. I read it for the articles.
You're listening to your weekly Constitutional. I'm Stuart Harris, and we're speaking with, or I should say Wayne is speaking with, Mary Kent Whitaker, a public high school teacher from Watauga County, North Carolina, who has been embroiled recently in a First Amendment, parental rights, book banning, what should we do about the kids type dispute at her high school. And a little bit later, we're going to tell you how it all turned out. But in the meantime, let's finish the basic story.
How does the material in the House of the Spirits compare with what the average 15-year-old is going to be seeing on a nightly basis on network television?
Oh, my goodness. Certainly what they're going to see on network television is going to be something that if this book is found objectionable by parents, what they watch on network television should certainly be objectionable to these parents.
You said that you offer an alternative if there is a problem, if a student or a student's parents have a problem with a particular book that you are teaching, there is an alternative that they can use. What is the alternative that you are offering to the House of the Spirits?
Well, the alternate that I used last year when I was allowed to teach the book, I used Herman Melville's Moby Dick, and it's not Latin American, obviously, it's American Lit, and our literature sequence is that 10th grade literature is world literature, including Latin America, and 11th grade literature is American, and 12th grade literature is Western European. But I couldn't find a Latin American novel to use as an alternate that didn't contain something that I thought she or another parent who had perhaps expressed a concern would not object to. So I went back into the American classics, and I chose Moby Dick because it's about the same Lexile score, you know, Lexile being the level of difficulty and challenge of the material. So that's what I used. And I love Moby Dick. I really enjoy teaching it. And it's a great book. It's a challenging book. It's one that's worthy of their time while the other students are spending a month reading and studying The House of the Spirits. And I have a lot of supplemental materials that I use with Moby Dick, including art and a lot of research that includes just the whole whaling industry. And so it's a very worthwhile unit. I wish I could find a Latin American novel that I could use as an alternate. I have researched in my English department. We've researched about 25 novels and have not found one to use. But I'm very happy with Moby Dick. I think it's a good one. The students feel proud that they've read that book and worked through it with my help. And it's, you know, it's one that works well for the alternates.
How have your fellow teachers and your administrators responded to this whole situation?
I really, really want to give a big shout out to Watauga High School. We've got the finest high school in the state. Now, there are a couple of high schools that have test scores above us, but only two districts. It's Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Asheville City Schools. And of course, it's not about test scores, but I'm just saying in terms of what we're doing and academically, we are up there at the top. But the other thing that we have is a faculty that cares deeply, deeply about students. We really have an excellent school. My English department is incredible. They're solidly 100% behind the support of this book and retaining it in the honors sophomore English curriculum. And our principal and our administration, our principal, Mr. Gasperson, our administration, I mean, they have been very supportive and involved, and we're appreciative so much of everybody at the school.
I'm Wayne Winkler, and I'm talking with Mary Kent Whitaker, who teaches the Honors Sophomore English class at Watauga High School in North Carolina. And we're talking about the controversy over the book, The House of the Spirits by Isabel Allende. Chastity Lassane was offered an opportunity to appear on this program. She declined, but provided a statement, which we heard earlier in the program. How do your fellow teachers feel about this whole controversy? How has it affected them, and what do they think about the ramifications of this?
Well, yeah, that's a question that really, the answer to that question is concerning to me. I think teachers honestly are, not just in Watauga High School, but statewide, I think teachers are worried about job security, and that's a very legitimate concern. I think teachers are worried about teaching material that a parent might object to, and it's really causes a lot of disruption in the teaching process. It really does. And they're worried not just in English, but in social studies, healthful living, in art, in science. Teachers are concerned that a complaint by one parent can have such an impact on the educational process, but they're also passionate about teaching. I know the teachers at Watauga High School are. They're passionate about teaching. They care about students. They want to prepare these students to be a part of the global community in every way. They want them to be prepared for college, prepared for the workforce. And then teachers legitimately being concerned about if they teach a certain thing, is a parent going to object and really cause a disruption in the teaching process. So that's where many teachers are, and I understand it 100%.
It's Weekly Constitutional. I'm Stuart Harris, and we've just been listening to an excerpt from a recent episode of Community Forum, another show here at WETS, in which Wayne Winkler, our executive producer, has been interviewing Mary Kent Whitaker, who is a public school teacher in Watauga County, North Carolina. And as you've just heard, there's been quite a dispute over a book that she assigned in her honors sophomore English class. After the break, we'll have our Madison Minute, and then we'll come back and hear from both sides about how this titanic struggle ended.
In conjunction with the James Madison University Field School, Montpelier has been the site of annual seasonal archaeological excavations from April to November. Under a four-year collaborative research grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, four quarters have been excavated related to the lives of enslaved African Americans, the stable, kitchen yards, tobacco barn, and field quarters. The excavations have revealed early structures in those areas, including possible slave quarters, as well as a variety of artifacts dating to the Madison residency and their slaves. The artifacts are helping researchers form a much broader and deeper picture of the lives of the slaves at Montpelier. The four residential locations provide a unique opportunity to compare and contrast the conditions of slavery of the period. New exhibits have been mounted to interpret the lives of Africans and African Americans at the plantation. With a Madison Minute, I'm Jim Blaylock.
You're listening to your weekly Constitutional. I'm Stuart Harris, and we've been having a fascinating discussion in sort of an unusual way. Our executive producer, Wayne Winkler, did a show in a show called Community Forum. He did an interview with a woman named Mary Kent Whitaker, who's a teacher at Watauga High School in Western North Carolina. And they talked, if you were listening, you just heard them talk about a book banning down in that high school, the attempt by some people to remove a book from the curriculum, from the honors English class. The book in question was called The House of the Spirits. And we just listened to Wayne's interview with Mary Kent Whitaker, and that brought us up to a certain point. And now we're going to finish the story. But before we do, I want to say that we're a little bit concerned about only presenting one side of this. And so I do need to note that we have asked Chastity Lassane, the mother who was particularly concerned about this book and who led the fight against this book being used in class. We've repeatedly contacted her. Wayne's emailed with her. I've emailed with her. We've gone back and forth. And she simply declined to come on the show. And so out of necessity, we've looked for other sources. And fortunately, she did agree to speak to Fox News. And so here's an excerpt from a Fox News interview with Chastity Lassane. And we'll let them bring you up to date on what happened next.
Well, the troubles with schools in North Carolina this morning, parents are outraged over a new book that's being assigned to their high school students containing references to abortion and prostitution. It's part of the government's Common Core education program.
This book, heavily laden with sexually explicit and perverse material, is required with no analysis of inappropriate sexual content or the impact on students of such content, and no principal or parent review or approval is required.
But despite complaints, the school board voted to keep that book in the classrooms. That mom you just heard right there, Chastity Lassane, joins me now. Good morning, Chastity. Certainly you had some passion when you were speaking to the board. They voted to keep the book in there. It has explicit material, part of the Common Core classroom curriculum. Why is it not common for teachers or educators to be looking out for content?
That has been my question all along, and where's the accountability? And unfortunately, there is none. At least in our case, we did not find any to be there. And we have continuously asked questions about who does review this material, and we have yet to find. There's a policy in place that gives teachers all of that right and all of that that choice. However, when it comes to that teacher or the school to voice a concern of the age of inappropriateness of that content, we are not welcomed, unfortunately.
Well, so you were met with some opposition, but I know you have some support behind you. How are you finding those numbers of parents behind you supporting you?
Well, and another element of this is that parents, unfortunately, are not aware of the content until right before they get ready to read the book in class. And so that's been one of the issues, is full disclosure of that content. When parents became aware, due to our research and our stepping out with the concerns, many parents joined us and have signed petitions, written letters to the Board of Education, expressed their concerns to the school and the administrators as well.
Right, up to this point, Chastity, you had to find out from a friend that this material was explicit, that they were talking about rape and torture, abortion, prostitution, to a high schooler. Now, though, it seems as though you've made some headline. Will there be an opt-in or opt-out? What did they decide?
They've decided to continue things just the way that they have been, which is not equal educational services, and that's been part of the issue. Unfortunately, no changes have been made. We fought for full disclosure to parents of the book content. We fought for an equal educational service offered, choice options given instead of feeling separated and excluded from the classroom, an inclusive type option which would choose between two books and have literature circles in the room so that everyone could be included sure. into the classroom setting.
Chastity, do you feel as though if parents speak up, if kids choose not to read material that is explicit by definition here, do you believe that they are punished?
They are. And I believe even the students especially feel that. It's very difficult for those students to speak out because we've taught them to be respectful of the teachers and of adults and elders in their lives. However, that is the reality of the situation. They feel punished for choosing these alternate options because they are excluded and separated from the classroom. Teacher instruction, class discussion, all of those things.
Absolutely. Chastity Lussain, we thank you for keeping up the good fight, looking out for the kids, and being with Fox and Friends today. Thanks.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for having me.
That was Chastity Lussain, who led the charge against the book, The House of the Spirits, at Watauga High School. Again, she wouldn't speak to us, but that was her speaking on Fox and Friends. Now let's hear again from Mary Kent Whitaker, with whom I spoke after this thing all played out. Mary Kent brought several young people with her.
We recently had the final appeal to the Board of Education, and we got a vote there. It was a 3-2 vote to fully retain the book in the honor sophomore curriculum. So the House of the Spirits is unchained. It's going to stay in the curriculum, and I should begin teaching it in a week or two.
I see. Well, and I'm going to make a legal analogy then. It sounds like you won at the trial level, and then you won all of your appeals as well.
That's correct. We did.
Just to summarize, the book has been retained in the curriculum. You won a vote. It was a close vote at the school board at a very well-attended hearing. But by and large, your side has won. And to a great extent, people were civil, but a few people, as is often the case, were not. And now I understand you've got some young people there with you who also participated in this. So why don't you introduce them around and give us the first one there and let him or herself introduce himself, and we'll talk about it.
All right, I will. I'll turn it over to them. And I want to say two things about them. Not only have they been really active in working hard for their right to read and their freedom to learn, but when they've studied with me, three of them studied The House of the Spirits. And Patrick, who I had before we changed to World Literature, he studied an equally challenging book, Native Son by Richard Wright. And I just want to say that these four students are representative of the students that I teach, and they're incredibly intellectual, bright, articulate, and so able to handle material like this and relate it to current day situations and then take this information and be informed with it the rest of their lives. And so that's really important. And then as well as watching them be so active in this fight that we've had for the last 5 or 6 months, it's been heartening and impressive, and I'm feeling good about the future. So I'll let them take it over. Here's Nate.
Hi, I'm Nate. I'm a junior at Watauga High School here in Boone, North Carolina, and I had Mary Kent Whitaker's honors English class last year, and I enjoyed it a great deal.
I see, and you read Native Son in that class.
I didn't. I'm one of our other...
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Okay, what did you read in your honors English class last year?
I read The House of the Spirits in addition to several other awesome books.
I see. Well, what was your experience with House of the Spirits? Did you think it was appropriate for your grade level?
I thought it was appropriate, even though it did have some kind of intense and sometimes sexual content. I thought that the message it was trying to convey about the power of forgiveness and the sort of importance of sort of breaking cycles of violence and cruelty, I thought made it into an amazing experience for me. That was the book I enjoyed the most when I took that course.
Really? What, I mean, well, get a little more specific. What was so important or so enjoyable or so revelatory about that particular book?
We spent about a month going over it. Miss Whitaker did a great job of sort of reinforcing, talking about all the different issues in the book. And even though it did have sexual content, there's rape in the book, for example, the book, the way it was portrayed, showed how we can break these cycles of cruelty and violence and assault, but through the power of forgiveness, even despite powerful outside factors.
Wow. Well, with that as a background, did you participate in this recent controversy in any particular way?
I did. I've attended several of the meetings that have been about the book. We had a read-in before the this thing was decided, so we all came in wearing blue shirts with little insignias on them about freeing the House of the Spirits, and everyone sort of got by the elevators and read the book. You know, so it's sort of a form of saying we need to keep this book in the curriculum. Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds like quite a demonstration. Were you reading it out loud?
No, we were not. We were all reading it silently.
Reading it.
Yes.
But people could see you were doing it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they saw that you had not burst into flames.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, that could happen to a teenager because, you know, I know I used to be a teenager too, and I know that teenagers never think about sex. And that they're utterly ignorant of the subject, so this must have been quite a shock to you to read these words.
Well, the thing is that quite a few of the people who have been criticizing the book have sort of used rhetoric that sort of implied that it's pornographic.
Mm-hmm.
And pornography, and I suppose I'm going to get kind of technical here, pornography is, you know, designed to titillate, designed to turn you on or whatever, but The House of the Spirits portrays the sexual violence in the book as a great evil, as something that you should try to avoid. And I think that was, for me, was it shows how wrong those things are and why you shouldn't do it instead of encouraging people to do it.
Very interesting. Well, who else is there? Who else can we hear from, Ms. Whitaker?
All right, here's Mary Margaret.
I'm Mary Margaret. I'm also a junior, and I also read House of the Spirit with Ms. Whitaker last year.
Did you have a similar impression of that book?
Yeah. I really liked that book. What I liked the most about it was you don't really get closure until the very last page of the book. I don't know. I just thought it had a great message. And once you finally reach that last page, you get that closure. It's a really great feeling.
So the closure only occurs on the last page. It sounds like a really good ending. Now, don't give it away.
I don't intend to, but it is a great ending.
Tremendous. Well, what did you learn from the book?
I think mostly just like what Nate said about breaking the cycle of violence, being the one who forgives is important.
So a book about forgiveness and rejecting violence, it sounds almost like you're describing the New Testament. Well, there's a fair amount of sex there too, but we'll leave that alone for a moment. Anyone else there?
Here's Connor.
Yeah, hi, my name's Connor, and I'm a junior at Watauga High School. I had the privilege of taking Ms. Whitaker's Honors English class last year as well.
Mm-hmm. And did you become involved in this controversy?
Yes, most definitely. My involvement started after reading an article in the Watauga Democrat, one of our local papers, and it sort of just kind of spoke to me, seeing, you know, one of my favorite teachers under attack from these people. It's just not the right thing to do, so I felt like it was my place, as well as my peers, to step up and represent the students accurately. So what I actually did is organized a petition, student-led petition, to present to the Board of Education on the night that most of the public speaking took place, which was February 10th.
And how was your petition received?
It's hard to tell what the board thought of it, honestly, but my peers and teachers and family members were very supportive, and I think that sort of speaks to the idea that there are more people here in favor of the book than there are against it. And I feel like that was misrepresented as well. So
I see. So this was not the majority rejecting a book and having it foisted upon them, but it was your perception that the majority actually wanted the book in the class.
That's absolutely quite the contrary to what the people against the book have portrayed this issue to be. So
I see. Mary Margaret, I forgot to ask you about your involvement. I understand you actually spoke at a teach-in about this. Is that correct?
Yeah, I did. That was sort of, I guess, not the very beginning, but towards the beginning of the whole issue. I also attended the read-in that Nate was talking about, and I've been at most of the meetings.
Mm-hmm. How did you find public speaking?
Terrifying.
Uh-huh.
I'm a pretty quiet person, so it was kind of a scary thing. I didn't want to do it at first, but I felt like it was important for me to defend Miss Witt and the book.
That's interesting. Years ago, I read a poll that talked about the 10 things that people find most terrifying, and death was number two. The number one thing people find terrifying is public speaking. Was that the first time you've spoken in public on a controversial issue?
Not. Other than the teach-in, no.
Okay. It's
an experience for me.
Very, very interesting. Okay, who do we have left?
My name is Patrick, mm-hmm. and I'm a senior at Watauga High School. I am the student body president, and I also serve as the student representative on the Board of Education. And I took Ms. Whitaker's class my sophomore year.
I see. Were you involved in the creation of this Facebook page that we've seen online?
I was not actually involved in the creation of the Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Was anybody there involved with that?
My dad was involved with that. My dad actually has been, in some respects, he's been more active than I have, just because, you know, he's been on off-campus scholarly assignments, so he has a little bit more free time. But I believe him and Lynn Schlenker were involved in creating the Facebook page.
No. What does your dad do?
He's a professor at Appalachian State University.
Oh, that's right. I'd read that there had been some involvement from the faculty there. And so they actually are the people who created the Facebook page. That's interesting. I figured it was one of you young, technically savvy people, but it was an old guy like me.
Maybe my dad was on Facebook more than I do, so I think he was like, oh, we got to get it on Facebook.
I see. Well, tell me a little bit then, since you're plugged into the faculty there, what was the attitude of the faculty at Appalachian State?
The faculty was very supportive of the book. They opposed the book banning, obviously, and a fair number of the faculty consider coming to ASU to work because they know that the local schools are good and that they're going to teach you a challenging curriculum. So a lot of them felt like their kids' education was in jeopardy because of the book challenge.
Well, let's talk about the alternate for a minute, because I believe it, Ms. Lassane objects that students who opt for the alternate are perhaps ostracized or feel like they're being left out, or at the very least don't have the same benefit of classroom discussion of their books that the rest of the students do. So is opting out really a good alternative?
I think it can be a fine alternative, and we can mention all of them right now. A student can take the class and read the book. A student can take the class and read the alternate. A student can take a different level English, or a student can take honors English online and get the full quality, you know, the extra quality point for it. So we have a lot of options. Unfortunately, early in this discussion during public comment at a Board of Ed meeting, a parent spoke out that her daughter had to sit in the hall during the alternate selection. And even though I've corrected that many times and said that there was a choice, that has still prevailed. I had 6 students read the alternate and were given the choice of going, staying in the classroom during our discussion, or going to the library, or staying in the hall. And it's a choice. All the other students went to the library for our discussion period. But even so, the English department's been working on a better way to do the alternate. And one of the things that we've come up with is that all the students have a computer here at Watauga High School now. So we can use technology to work on the discussion component of the book. So for instance, we've got a blog function on our school web page, it's called Fusion here, which means that if there are 2 students in one class reading the alternate, one and another and two and another, for instance, all five of them, including myself, can be having an ongoing conversation about the book through the blog function, which I think is a great idea. And it also mimics a lot of what they'll have to do in college. And then I would also say, too, that of the students that read the alternate last year, many of them felt really good about it. And I've got notes that they wrote, because I always ask students to respond, what did you learn? What could I do better? You know, what would you suggest to make improvements? And they responded that they really liked that little independent aspect of a small part of that one semester, because they helped, like, it prepared them for college, because they'll be doing so much more independent work in college. But even with all that, we're still working on improving the alternate. And I've selected a book, or I'm working on selecting a book that's by a Latin American author. And hopefully then the students can stay in the class for a large number of the lessons, such as the lesson on the author and the lesson on magical realism and different things like that.
Very interesting. For any of the students who want to answer this, do you feel like the kids who take the alternate book route, are they ostracized? Do you all make fun of them? Are they treated differently by their peers?
Hey, this is Nate. And in my experience, I haven't noticed any sort of exclusion or sort of, you know, kind of being like, oh, you're so stupid taking the alternate. I haven't noticed any of that sort of behavior in my class. And everyone who I know who the interactions between the people who took the alternate and people who didn't have been perfectly civil. You know, people are buddies on who read the book and who didn't. You know, it's not a big thing.
This is Patrick. I just wanted to say that I have spent 4 years studying under this English department, and I can't imagine studying under any better English department. I trust these teachers to guide us through all of the material that we cover. And I think they are wonderful teachers, and I couldn't ask for a better English department to study under.
Okay, well, Ms. Whitaker, anything you'd care to add?
Well, I appreciate your time and your interest and, you know, listening to these incredible students here. As I said earlier, I think we're all relieved and glad that this process is over and that the controversy is settled and that we can move ahead with teaching. And I know the rest of my English department feels that way also.
Well, has it ever occurred to you that you could avoid all these problems just by, well, I don't know, you could just teach the Cat in the Hat? Or something?
Right, or the 89th Kitten or something like that. No, it never has. And I was asked by the press at the Board of Ed meeting, a couple of them asked, you know, well, did I ever consider just stopping and just giving up the book and, you know, get over all the controversy? Because it's been huge, as you can tell, I'm sure. And I'll say I never one time, not even for a split second, considered giving up a book that's recommended by our North Carolina Department of Public Instruction, that's taught and recommended in the International Baccalaureate Program in 146 countries, that the AP program recommends, an author that's the most widely read Spanish language author in the world. An author, a living author who's been involved in this process and who not only has won 50 literary awards, but she's won 30 humanitarian awards also. And I feel like my students have the right to read the same thing that their peers all over the world are reading. And I never once considered dropping this fight and teaching the Cat in the Hat or the 89th Kitten.
And that's our show. Thanks very much to Mary Kent Whitaker and her very articulate students, Mary Margaret, Nate, Pat, and Connor. We note that Ms. Whitaker was, for the second time, recently voted the Teacher of the Year at Watauga High School. Congratulations to Ms. Whitaker. We also note that though the teachers in this controversy were fairly much unanimous in their support of the House of the Spirits, the vote at the school board was actually quite close. It was 3-2 in favor of retaining the book. And of course, there will be new elections before too long. We'll keep you posted if this issue arises again. Our executive producer and my co-host on this episode of the show was Wayne Winkler. Our distribution engineers are Bob Hoffman and Nick Rosa. Our scheduler is Carol Hutchinson. Our music is by the Watauga Fife and Drum Corps. And remember, you are a part of the American experiment.